You start your prayer time praising the Lord. Well, I believe that's biblically what we should do whenever we pray. Enter into his courts with praise. Amen. And it changes your whole frame of mind and your whole focus in prayer whenever you begin to lift up the Lord. Lift him up. Glorify the Lord. And you've got plenty to be thanking the Lord for. Amen. Every one of us, I have a lot to be thanking the Lord for. Book of Acts chapter 2. Brother Robert Martin sent me a text just before church and said, "Pastor, what you preaching on tonight?" I don't know if he wanted my notes or what. And I told him I don't do good on titles, so I don't necessarily have a title, but I do have a subject. And we're going to start here in the book of Acts. And just I think it was a couple of Wednesdays ago that we read these verses in the last several verses of the book of Acts chapter 2, and I want to read beginning with verse 41, because this really this shows the attitude and the atmosphere of the early church, what was going on after Peter stood up that day on the day of Pentecost and preached. And we all know that Peter's reputation wasn't that good. Even as a believer, he was just kind of outspoken and, poor judgment, jumped to conclusions. He had a lot of weaknesses. But it's like whenever his life was just saturated with the Spirit, Peter became a new person. He became so powerful for God, so mighty in the Spirit, and such power in his life that even the shadow of Peter, there was power even in his shadow as he God just used him when people would come in close proximity to him. Amazing. The effect of the Spirit of God upon Peter's life. And after this day of Pentecost message is preached, then there is a response. And this is what we're reading here in chapter 2, verse 41. "Then they gladly received his word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Glorious, a response to Peter's first Holy Ghost message. Wonderful response. 3,000 souls were converted. And there was gladness and joy, praising God, Scripture says, and having favor with all of the people. And then not only the 3,000 that were saved, but it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So every day, God was working. After this initial outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the early church, 3,000 souls, which kind of set the precedent for what was going to be happening in that early church. Amen. Now, that's how the church began. And I just believe that we need to look to the Scripture for the pattern and the plan for how that the church should have an effect upon the lives of people around us, our community, our sphere of ministry, people that we can affect for the glory of God. Now, let me just tell you how I'm perceiving things. I perceive that Wednesday night is the service where we, this is where we get ammunition. This is the service where we get the strength that we need. And we're provided some things from the Lord in the Wednesday night service to help us to be what we need to be on the weekend, with the hopes that, and our prayers that, there will be those that we are reaching and that the Lord will be adding to the church. But we prepare ourselves on Wednesday night. And that's why, you know, it's disappointing that people won't take advantage of it. But I'm not disappointed and I'm not distracted. I'm just focused upon what I believe that the Lord wants us to do as far as the church is concerned. Let me ask you a question. Is it wrong to plan for the church to grow? Is it wrong to make a plan? Well, we know that if a plan is just a plan for man's sake, that it's probably going to fail. But if it is a God-given plan, if it's a biblical plan to reach the lost and for the church to be added to, then we can expect that God will honor the things that He has promised, and will take hold of the promises of God. Some folks would say, and I listened, as I've told you before, I listened to lots of preachers, and I have just recently listened to from the broadest spectrum, just in recent days, from someone who would say, as far as evangelizing and reaching lost, all that you need to do is just pray and have church and preach the gospel, and people will come, and God will add to the church. To the other extreme that I described for you Sunday, all kinds of bizarre, crazy, wild things like boxing matches and ballet dances and all kinds of unbelievable things that people are doing to attract people into the church. That's how broad and how diverse the church world is today. It's extreme in what people are doing and what they're attempting to do. And as I said the other day, I don't know that all of their plans, that their heart, I can't judge their hearts as to why that they're making these plans and doing some of the things that they're doing. But there has to be a plan, and there has to be a plan that's from God. Amen. It has to be from the Lord. Amen. And so I got to looking into this in the scripture. Is there a Bible precedent for making a plan? Is it biblical that we plan? It is. It is. And I believe that I'm going to just share a few verses of scripture with you here tonight that I believe. We know that there is, and I'll talk about this here in just a few minutes, the Great Commission of our Lord. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John, it's in Acts. Five times the Great Commission of our Lord is repeated in the New Testament. So if the Lord repeats it five times in the first five books of the New Testament, I think that we need to pay attention. But we need to take notice of the fact that we have been called and commissioned to do something for the Lord. Amen. Now, do you think that the lost are just going to come just in response to, this just the fact that they have an interest? And I know that people do come. I mean, God deals with the hearts of people when we could never even expect or even have any knowledge that He was. But I believe it is important that we plan to see the kingdom grow. Amen. We need to make a plan. And if all we're doing is just coming to church two times, three times a week, and we're just coming, and it's all about, you know, strengthening ourselves, edifying each other, helping us to get through all of our troubles. And I really believe that's one of the reasons that the enemy attacks the people of God so much, is because we get the mentality that we're going to church because we're all beat up and wounded by the enemy. And we got to go to church like we got to go to the clinic or to the hospital to get it patched up a little bit. And for someone to pour the salve in to help us get through all of our daily struggles. And the mentality many times in the church is just like that. Oh, I got to get to church because the devil just beat me up. I'm in trouble and I need help from the Lord. And so you barely get there on Sunday morning and you barely make it on Sunday night. And
Wednesday night is just, it really takes the effort because you're under such an attack, and all of us experience attacks of the enemy. But let me tell you, one of the reasons why that Satan does that is because he wants to distract us from our calling. He wants to distract us from why the church exists. And if we're reminded here tonight, again, about why we exist, what is our purpose, what is our goal, what do we want to accomplish, and if the Great Commission was repeated five times, that we need to pay close attention to the fact that we do have a really high calling, and that we need to make a plan to implement the commission of our Lord. There's a few little quotes that I like that these are not Bible quotes. These are just quotes from people. One is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I like that one. Another one is, you only hit the target that you aim at. Another one is, plan your work and then work your plan. Good little quotes from people who are, you know, have good ideas. But we need to see that this is in the scripture, that the Lord, it's all that organization and planning. A lot of times what we see as when we talk about the church getting organized and accomplishing something by a plan, then many times people think, well, that, you know, that's the Spirit of God doesn't move that way. The Spirit of God works only spontaneously. But when you look at the scripture, study the scripture, you see that God works through order, organization. He works through a plan, and he, if it is Holy Spirit given, it can be Holy Spirit implemented, and it will bring about the move of God. It will bring about revival. Now, if all you have is a plan, and it's a man-made plan, then it's going to be dry and empty, and nothing is going to be accomplished from it. But if it's from the Lord, if it is biblical, then it's going to be a plan that is going to bring about not only a success in the kingdom, but it's going to cause you and I to be able to do what we're doing a lot more effectively and with a lot greater ease, because we're working by a Bible plan. Someone had mentioned this in a meeting we were in earlier this morning from Exodus chapter 18. And how that Moses, the scripture says, if you want to read over there in the book of Exodus, that Moses was judging and giving counsel to all of the children of Israel. And it was such, chapter 18 of Exodus in verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. And so his father-in-law, now if you've got a good godly father-in-law, listen to their counsel. Amen. And his father-in-law came along and had some good advice, good counsel for Moses, telling him what to do. And it was a plan. It was a way to organize what was going on. And it was a godly plan. It was going to provide a way. And he just simply told him, Moses, if you'll choose out elders and leaders, and you put them over tens and over hundreds and over thousands, and you set them in order and train those leaders and help them to implement and to do what you're trying to do all by yourself, then you are going to be able to accomplish so much more. The Bible says that Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Sounds like an organization to me. Sounds like a plan to me. When you read the rest of the text, you'll see where not only was he able himself to be relieved from this overwhelming burden, but it says that all the people went home in peace. They all were satisfied. Their needs were being met. And because God was furthering his will through the implementation of a godly plan. Amen. Glory to God. Same thing was happening in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in chapter 6, when there were those people who were, you know, it describes those widows who were, they were just, their needs were not being met, and there was overwhelming needs among the people. And the counsel came, the wisdom came. Choose you out men. Choose you out godly men. And these men will be able to carry on the work, so that the work will be divided among many, and each one can fulfill their calling and their task. And so those that were chosen, holy men of God, filled with the Spirit, those men then begin to fulfill a much needed task in the body, and the others, the apostles, were able to focus on their calling and their ministry, and the church advanced. Now, if it had come to this point and they had not been led of the Spirit to establish this order in the church, then the growth and the furtherance of the gospel would have been greatly hindered, because there was not a godly plan. Proverbs 16 in verse 9, it says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." There is a man-centered plan, and then there is a godly plan that is a wise plan. It is biblical. It's from the Lord, and it causes the work of the Lord to be furthered and to grow, and for the church to experience God's blessing. Amen. Proverbs 13 in verse 16. "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." A prudent man is someone who has good judgment. He plans before. He plans before. The root of the word there, as far as prudent is concerned, the Hebrew equivalent is the word that we use for providence or providere, which describes someone who plans ahead before they get involved in the task. They plan, and every prudent man deals with knowledge. He works according to knowledge. He gets instruction, and he gets teaching, and he gets the wisdom that he needs. But a fool, everybody sees his failures and his weakness. His folly is open to everybody to see it, because everything he's trying to do is going to be with a great deal of effort and very little success. Proverbs 13, verse 19. "The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil." The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Whenever you have a well-laid plan and you see something accomplished, it's sweet, isn't it? It's wonderful. Whenever you know God has directed, God has given his wisdom and his knowledge, then it's a well-laid plan that brings about a satisfaction, because God helped us to establish this order and this plan of action. And by the grace of God, we saw success and the favor and blessing of God. One more in Proverbs is Proverbs 18 in verse 15. "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." So the man who's planning ahead is always pursuing knowledge. He always wants to know more about how to do the will of God and to implement the plan of God. Amen. Now, I've made plans plenty of times, and those plans have failed miserably. And you've probably had the same experience. You tried something, you planned something, and you worked hard at it, and because it was pretty much just a man-centered idea, that it didn't really accomplish what you wanted it to accomplish. You'll see throughout the Scripture that planning is a part of the will of God. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 and verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him.
Now, if you're like me, if there's anything, I have a pet peeve. If I see a building that's being built or has been built, but something has happened and it's just stopped. It's not. There's nothing happening there. This little building up here next to PNC Bank, this little white building, gas station, that was supposed to be a pizza place or whatever it was. Years. It's been sitting there. And every time I drive by there, I think, who messed up? Somebody messed up. Somebody's plans messed up. And I've heard rumors as to what did happen, but all I know is that there was a huge investment, a building that was built, and it sits right in the center of downtown, and it's a constant reminder of somebody that didn't follow through with their plan. They messed up. And you've probably seen that before. I have seen, my mother was just telling me about a house out in the area where she lives, that someone started building this big 5-bedroom, 3-bath, big fabulous home, and they got the house pretty much, you know, the exterior done. They run out of money and apparently got into terrible financial trouble. They ran off and left town, and some wise little guy came along and bought it for $30,000. He's got a nice lot in this fabulous home, half built, for just a few dollars, really, as compared to its value. And so we certainly don't want that to be the case in the body of Christ. And when it comes to the souls of men, we want a plan that's from God. We want an organization that is from God, so that whenever we plan to see the kingdom advancing, just as it did there in the book of Acts, that daily the church was being added to. And that wasn't just what happened then, and it's not for today. I really do believe it's the will of God that we be advancing, growing the souls of men, being brought into the kingdom of God, and we need to follow the plan. Amen. Verse 31 of Luke chapter 14, it says, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" New Testament scriptures that again reinforce the importance of planning ahead in spiritual things, planning ahead in the advancement of the kingdom, that the church needs to be a place where there is order, organization. But that doesn't push out the Spirit of God. And I've heard preachers before who've said, "Well, I don't preach with notes. I just don't use notes to preach. I just get up there and just believe that God's gonna." He's going to fill my mouth. I'm going to open my mouth. And so that may have worked for some, but that doesn't work for most. There has to be planning. There has to be order. There has to be preparation that's made. And I just believe that the Lord can anoint during the plannings and during the preparation. All that can be planned as well. There's nothing wrong with planning the songs that you sing in a service, as long as you're calling on the Lord. You're a person of prayer. You're a person who spends time with the Lord. And many times the Lord will direct even in the way that the service goes, in the order of the service. Because even beforehand, there has been a Holy Spirit direction that has given plans. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Great Commission, as I said, it appears 5 times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Let me read to you from Matthew 28 and verse 19. And this sets the the order for the commission.
and in these verses, what Jesus is telling us to do, all of us, every believer. This is the call, the commission of the Lord. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so the first part of this great commission plan is that every believer has to have a goal in his life. We all do. We need a goal in our life, a desire to go after people who are not serving the Lord, to go after them, to witness to them, to pray for them, to have compassion for them. We are to go. That's really the beginning. The church becomes a place of life and activity and excitement whenever the body of Christ obeys the Great Commission and we're all involved in going and reaching and bringing and inviting and causing people to be interested in coming to the house of the Lord. When we're all doing that, even this Wednesday night group here tonight, if we all really take this to heart and go to where they are, go to them. The scripture says, go and teach all nations. The word there is really ethnos, or every ethnic group. So to me, I just believe that even in our own community, that means people, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what their heritage is. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It really doesn't matter that right now in our country, all of these ethnic groups are coming right to us, right even to London, Kentucky. They're right here, aren't they? Many people of diversity are coming to us. Of course, we do have a responsibility to the ethnic groups all around the world. And so we send as our substitute missionaries, and we pray for them, and we support them, and we encourage them, and they go to the four corners of the earth. And that's very much a part of our Great Commission. But just because they go doesn't get us off the hook. We have to go too. Amen. We need to go too. I was going back into some records the first year that we were here, which was 1995. And at that time, I don't know all that was going on before, but I know the first year that we were here, I was looking through some of the records as far as the bus ministry was concerned. There was 60, 70, 80, sometimes 90 people who came on the buses in 1995 every week to the house of the Lord. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of young people. And included in that group were even adults and even some older, elderly people who came as a part of that group. And it happened because there was a group of people who were committed every week to go. And they went and they knocked on doors and they talked to people and they witnessed to them and they invited them to church. And as a result, great numbers of people came to the house of the Lord. Now, that can happen today as much as it could happen then. It may require a little more determination, a little more work, but I'm convinced someone told me, you know, well, the day of the bus ministry and that kind of an outreach, it's just over. And I got to noticing there's a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma that is 8,000. It's one of these modern churches. But they have more buses than a lot of churches have people in attendance. I think they have something like 70 or 80 buses that they run every weekend, and bringing people in, bringing children in, bringing young people in to the house of the Lord. And they're doing that now, as opposed to, you know, back when the bus ministry had its heyday. I just believe with all of my heart that God can give us a plan that we can go. We can go, and all of us can go. The Great Commission is a plan. Go and teach all nations, basically. Go and evangelize, share the gospel, preach the gospel to them. Amen. Many times when people are won to the Lord, they're not won to the Lord in the service at the altar call. That happens. But much of the time when people come to the Lord and get saved, they get saved at their home or on the job or wherever they're being witnessed to at that particular time. They just respond to the gospel and get saved. And when they come to church, it's really just, it's just a public testimony, a declaration. I got saved this week. Amen. So it would just be wonderful if when the weekends would come that those like you and me, that we would come into the services and we'd have someone, some stranger with us that we talked to and we went to and we prayed with them and we shared the gospel with them and we brought them to the house of God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And I know I've mentioned this before, but there is just as much as you would have a desire and a burden on the other side of things. The Spirit of God is wooing, is dealing, is speaking to people. I got the call on the night of Brother Huff's funeral, I believe it was. I know I was up at the Huff's house, so it was either that night or real soon. I didn't know who it was. I just heard somebody talking and they were crying. It was Tom Wagner. And he said, "Vernon, I'm sick. Vernon, I don't know what's going on with me. I need to get back. I need to get back in church. I need to get back to God." I loved that phone call. And I said, "Yes, you do. And you and Nancy need to get back here in the house of the Lord. And you need to commit yourself to the Lord." And they both have a lot of health problems and a lot of circumstances that they're dealing with. But I'm just saying, the Lord's already working on that end. He's already working. If we follow His plan, He's already working and arranging things on the other end of things, dealing with people, talking to people by His Holy Spirit. Amen. So go and evangelize and then baptize them. Baptize them. Bring them to the house of God and let them be baptized and make a public declaration, a declaration, a public testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ and that they truly have repented and become a child of God. And then disciple them. That's what it says. It says, go, teach all nations or evangelize them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe all things. Teach them the Word of God. Amen. And the mechanism is already set in place to accomplish that. The Sunday school already set in place so that we can bring the lost in, we can see them saved, and that we can put them in the appropriate Sunday school class so that they can be taught the Word of God. Amen. And they can learn some things and they can grow and be discipled in the things of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So we got to be willing to do that. Willing to go, willing to evangelize, willing to baptize, willing to disciple them or to teach them in the ways of the Lord and believe that God can give a Holy Spirit plan to get it accomplished. Amen. Amen. And I just would ask you to pray with me because this has been something that I've been asking the Lord about. I want a plan. I want your plan. I don't want my plan because I've had plenty of them over the years. I want a plan that's from the Lord. I want the way He wants to accomplish it. And then souls being brought in to the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, I'm going to close with this. The Apostle Paul, the reason he was so effective was because of his selflessness, that he was a servant in ministry. And that's what we all have to become, servants in the ministry. And that's what it describes when he said, though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He said, I've become a servant to them all because I want to be able to reach them. I want to be able to bring them in. So I just bend and I give and I yield. I don't mean compromising truth. I just mean he was willing to be flexible and to be caring and loving and ministering to people. He says here in verse 20, "Unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law." And that doesn't mean that he went back and began to practice the works of the law. It just means that he was flexible and loving with them and caring toward them and just began to, you know, he was doing what he could do to identify with them and to be able to reach the Jew. Amen. Verse 21, he said, "To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And he said, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." Glory to God. My, what a plan that we have been given in the scripture. And the apostle Paul said, he caps it off here, at least what we're describing here tonight, is if you're going to succeed, it has to be a servant ministry. You have to be willing to become a servant to everybody, to give, to love them, to bend, to be flexible, to care about them, to do whatever that you have to do to reach them, to love them, to identify with them, to show compassion to them. It takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? When you got all kinds of people in your church and everybody's been in church for a long time and they all know how to act and what to do, but when you start bringing new people in who aren't exposed to God and to the Bible and to our little way we do things, you get 20 or 30 or 40 new people in the church that are like that, things are harder, aren't they? They're harder. And you look around and say, man, things are not, I like things just to kind of be like, our church. And actually what we're saying is that I want the church to be, like I said at the beginning, I want it to be like a clinic or a hospital so that I can go on Sunday morning and everybody just kind of soothes me and bandages me up and helps me make it through the rest of the week. But that kind of mentality is not the New Testament mentality. We are to go. We are to evangelize. We're to bring them in, and they're going to be messed up. That's the way the world is. They're all messed up. Their thinking is messed up. Their lives are a wreck. 1, 2, 3 marriages, all kinds of problems. Lives are just wrecked by sin. But those are the ones that we're called to them. When the apostle said, "I'm a servant, I become all things to all men," he was describing that kind of a scenario that you just have to go where they are and you have to go into that situation and let love take over. And just show love and give love and pour out of the goodness of God and bless people and help people, encourage them and show them Jesus. And when you do it for the gospel's sake. Then you're effective. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you that our best laid plans are not going to work. But Lord, you can give us Holy Spirit plans. And you can give us, Lord, an order, an organization, an effort, Lord, that can be inspired of your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Lord, that you would deal with us as a body and as a church, and that we would take it to heart, the Great Commission, Lord, that we would not ignore it. We wouldn't just think about it at missions time or certain times of the year, but we'd understand, Lord, that this is the priority of the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, do a work among us, we pray. Do a work among this Wednesday night group, Lord. Inspire us and encourage us and motivate us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to go and to reach and to minister to those that are in need. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's stand together, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Could we just, before we leave this place tonight, let's take a little while. I would just ask that you would pray for me, and not only me, but for those that are teaching, those that are in different capacities of ministry and leadership in the church, that God would just begin to do a work of His Spirit in us and begin to lead us and direct us, because we don't have a lot of time to reach our community. And we really need to be busy doing that. Amen. Amen. Could we just pray together one more time before we leave here tonight? Lord, there's a great task that's before us. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to reach folks. I want to reach the lost. I want to bring them in. Lord, help me to have the heart of a servant, Lord. It's willing, Lord, to love even those that are hard to love. Help me, Lord, to do that. Help each one of us, Lord. Lord, to just have a baptism of compassion. Lord, and love. Concern for the lost. Lord, and I just ask, Lord, that you would give to us, Lord, your direction, your wisdom, Lord, a plan that is Holy Spirit inspired, Lord, whereby we're able to reach many for the kingdom of God this year, 2012. Oh, Lord, for your glory, for the kingdom's sake, for the gospel's sake, Lord, do a work in each one of us, we pray. Lord, inspire us to go. Inspire us to reach and evangelize and to baptize and to teach those the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. This group right here tonight, let's reach somebody. Reach out for somebody this week. And before you come to church Sunday, put forth an effort. Ask the Lord to work through you to reach someone. Let's bring some new faces to Sunday school and church this weekend. Amen. Amen. God bless you.